just before we start as well, from the side of the police committee, we also need to recognize and acknowledge and congratulate the police on the arrest made at the cash depot in Gauteng, if I'm not mistaken. And also, I've heard this morning on the news of quite a big bust, a drug bust, also in Gauteng, according to the news, that was an operation of crime intelligence, and specifically in the light of the instabilities at some point in time in crime intelligence, one welcomes the fact to see that there are these kinds of arrests taking place. And as a committee, we would like to support SAPS in that effort. We're starting off, and I'm going to ask that the following happens, that Sira take us through these answers. Now, the chairperson, acting chairperson of the council, will determine who takes us through what answer. I'm going to ask that you take us through. Once we're through one set, I'm going to open for members to ask questions for clarity. Then we can go up to the next one, because there's unfortunately again contradictions. So let's start that process. Members, if you're in agreement with that, I think these were the main issues for us. Let them go through that section by section. We'll open after every section for further questions for members, and then we can continue. Then over to the acting chair of the council, Ms. Altman.
Good morning, honourable members, chairperson. Thanks very much, and just to get guidance from the chair and the honourable members of the portfolio committee, there's one area that applies to the council, in terms of which the council was requested to submit in writing a response to this committee, which we did. I just want to know, do you want me to present that to the committee before we go on to the issues specific to the authority?
I would prefer that we do it as you have submitted to us, okay, in that order, so that we don't have confusion around what we are busy with dealing. So let's, everybody's got these files in front of them with the answer, so I would suggest that we go through it in that way. The first one is the job grading assistance report and the appointments, if I'm not mistaken, Annexure A.
All right, thanks. Honourable Chair, for the purpose of the clarity as to the areas of responsibility, the first section, job grading report, is the HR responsibility. So the HR head would take that. And then we're having the round robin resolution of council, the lease agreement that would be dealt with by the director, and also with the support of the finance head. And then we'll take it from there. I'll just lead on person to person, so the job grading will be HR. Thank you.
Continue, please. Microphone, please.
Honourable Chairperson and the Honourable Committee members, I would like to thank this opportunity. The job grading and evaluation took place at CIRA, and the main purpose of the process was to ensure that we address the disparity in terms of the salaries. What I'd like to indicate is that the job evaluation and grading exercise was carried out by PwC, which has commenced in 2009 for the entire establishment. And the Human Capital Division and the Acting Director made a presentation to the Council meeting in May 2010 regarding the implementation of the outcomes of the exercise. And the presentation did not include the pulse of the executive since they were not part of the first phase. The chairperson requested that prior to advertisement of the executive post, we develop and evaluate and grade the job profiles of all the executive posts, which are four positions according to our staff establishment. And the acting director, through the instruction of the chairperson of the council, ordered the Human Capital Division to facilitate the development and the evaluation of the executive posts. And PwC, which is PricewaterhouseCoopers, continued with the process of developing and grading exercise of the positions in consultation with the chairperson, the acting director, together with the senior human resource management. I think it is also important, to note that we have used partisan grading system, which is one of the preferred JE system in the South African market. Due to the following reason: one, it is relatively simple and easy to understand, and it is more cost-effective to implement, and to maintain and update. Maybe to talk a little bit about the system itself. This system is a six bands of decision making. In this system, six bands of decision-making are defined in terms of the level of complexity of the decision required from the job incumbent. And the levels range from the completely defined decision to band A to policy-making decision at band F. And each of the bands is divided into lower and upper grade. The outcomes of the job evaluation and grading regarding four executive posts were received in 2010. Before the filling of all the set executive positions, which is the director, the deputy director, finance and administration, the deputy director, law enforcement, and the deputy director, training and communication. And the results, the outcomes of the job evaluation exercise were as follows. The director, according to the partisan grading, it came to E4, and the deputy director, finance and administration, came to E2. The two directors, which is law, deputy directors, which is law enforcement and training and communication, came to E1. And this has been correlated to the EQUATE, which is a system that is used by the Department of Public Service. And on that correlation, the director, the E4 of partisan grading is equivalent to level 16 of the public service. And the deputy director, finance and administration, is E2 equivalent to 50 to level 15 of EQUATE, which is used by public service. And the deputy director, law enforcement, and deputy director, training and communication, they both at E1 and is equivalent to 14, to level 14 of public service. It's further worthwhile to note that it was for the first time since the inception of CIRA to ensure that the positions and salaries are determined by a systematic salary grading tool, which is partisan grading system. And the PwC consultants, with the backing of the CIRA management, developed the job profiles on different positions within the establishment. And the developed job profiles were graded using the partisan job evaluation system, which is also annexed of this document. And the posts of the executives were advertised on Sunday Times in 2010 with the intention that ideal incumbents are offered in line with the outcomes of the job evaluation. And the following table reflects the details on how posts were filled. The first one is the position of the director, which was advertised on the 6th of June. And the interview date was the 27th. And the panel members there, the chairperson was the chairperson of the council, the deputy chairperson, and the two council members. And who approved the offer to...
I ask you to refer us to your submissions. Tell us where in your submission you are.
It's page 3 of the document where I am currently.
The context page.
Honourable Chair, I think the documents, the file that I'm having here, if you can have a look, I'm currently talking about presenting about the outcomes of the job evaluation, which is the heading on that page. I'm not sure if it's page 3.
Which document are you speaking from? Are you speaking from the letter, basically, that was addressed to me?
Okay.
Now, members, do you have copies of that letter? Can I just check? Yeah. Okay. So they're speaking from that document. Continue, please.
Thank you. And the following position was the Deputy Director of Finance and Administration, which was advertised on the 4th of July. 2010, and the interviews were held on the 27th of August 2010. And the panel was comprised of the chairperson of the council and the council members, the director and the acting director, together with the consultant. And the other position was the position of the Deputy Director, Law Enforcement, which was done on City Press. There's an error that we have repeated the position of the Deputy Director. It's supposed to be the position of Deputy Director, Law Enforcement. The candidate was headhunted, and the meeting was held by the chairperson and the director, and the outcomes of the meeting were communicated to the Human Capital Division to proceed with the appointment. And the offer, therefore, was recommended by the director and approved by the chairperson. The remuneration of the director, the post, as I've indicated, was evaluated and graded on salary grade E4. Of partisan grading system, which is equivalent to salary grade system of the equate grading system, which is used by the public service. However, due to financial constraints, the director was offered the salary grade A3 of the partisan grading system, which is equivalent to salary grade 15 of the equate grading system of the deputy director general. The salary package of the director was signed off by the chairperson of the council, and there are no council minutes in respect of this decision on record. And the remission of the deputy director of finance. The deputy director of finance and administration was appointed in September 2010, and this was after the posts of the executives were evaluated as well and graded by PricewaterhouseCoopers. The post of the Deputy Director of Finance and Administration was evaluated and graded on salary grade E2 of partisan grading system, which is equivalent to salary grade 15 of the equate grading system. However, due to financial constraints, the Deputy Director was offered a salary grade E1 of the partisan grade system, which is equivalent to salary grade 14 of the equate grading system. The salary grade of this post was corrected and approved by the council to be adjusted to the correct level as recommended by the evaluation, which participant grading is equivalent to grade 15 of equate grading system, which is used by the public service. The salary package of the deputy director was signed off by the chairperson of the council, and there are no council minutes for the decision. Remuneration of the deputy director of law enforcement. The deputy law enforcement was appointed in December 2010, and this was after the posts of the executives were evaluated and graded. The post of the deputy director of law enforcement was evaluated and graded on salary grade E1 of partisan grading system, which is equivalent to salary grade 14 of the equate grading system. The post was advertised on salary grade E1 of the partisan grading system, which is equivalent to salary grade 14 of the equate grading system. The salary of the deputy director was signed off by the director and the chairperson. There are no council minutes for this decision. The above mentioned initial offers have increased due to the following reasons over the years. One is cost of living increase implemented to the entire organization, and also the council review on the deputy director's package to ensure that the remuneration is on the right grade as recommended by the job evaluation exercise. It is factual that the packages are at current outside of the same categories in respect of the salary structure of the public services. The salary structure of the NTT since its inspection was never based on the structure of the public service. The rationale behind of using the government structure in 2010 was to ensure that we benchmark at the point of departure. And that's all. Thank you.
Anything to add from the council side?
Chair, I think there might just be a correction which has been noted. Okay. On page, the page is not numbered, but it would be the page starting with the remuneration of the Deputy Director of Finance. I think there's a mistake at the bottom, that the paragraph starting the above mentioned initial offers have increased due to the following reasons, and the second bullet point, council's review of the deputy director's package. I think that is a mistake.
I don't understand.
What the mistake is, it probably just should read review of the deputy director's package, not council's review of the deputy director's package.
Be correct, be direct. You're saying council was not involved.
Yes, I'm just saying the council part should be taken out. It's a review. I wouldn't know where that is, but shouldn't be council, should be removed.
I have that on the... Yeah, unfortunately, the pages aren't number 1, 2, 3, 4 of the letter. The enumeration of deputy of law enforcement, at the bottom there's a bullet. The acting chairperson saying council must be taken out, review of the deputy director's packages. And even though I'm trying to get her to say it directly, it seems like it means that council was not involved. Am I correct in that review? Okay. We've got it now on the record. No, they were not involved. Members, let's start with this part of the presentation. Questions. Honourable Molebatse, Honourable Muleleke George.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for the presentation. The non-availability of minutes in the signing off of salary packages of deputy director and so on, is this deliberate or is there a specific reason? My other question is on the... Yeah, just call it. Thank you.
Mr. George?
Madam Chair, I'm going to ask the same question, but I'm going to ask it directly to the council. Is it normal that when you have a meeting,
Bill, sorry, can I ask you to first draw your microphone to you for the purpose of the recording?
I'm saying, madam, is it normal, because it says every time there are no minutes, is it normal that when you have your meetings, you are not, there are no records? That's number one. Number two, you use this, you use PwC for consultation. Your first payment was 40,710, and you also paid another 12,540. Now, you also said at the final interview you have a consultant. How much did you pay for that consultant who was sitting in your interviews? And what was the reason? They had given you their feedback. You know how to do it. Why did you involve them again in the interviews? Because you said there was one consultant. And how much did that cost?
Sorry, you stopped.
Oh, no, because I want to know, why was there a counseling in these interviews? And to the council, not to you now. Because I see in the council there were two people. I don't like to talk personalities, but there are two people who originally are from government. Were you not aware that this facility which you went to look for from outside, it's available in the government, especially in the Department of Public Administration?
I also have a couple of questions on this issue. First of all, the way you're reporting on salaries is absolutely confusing in the annual report. Now, I heard Mr. Chowki saying that we don't understand what it was reported. Of course, it says appointment 1st August, then there's a salary, then there's a different salary on the 31st of March of the next year. A completely different salary. Now, almost double. I would like them to explain that to us as well. Secondly, in terms of the KPMG exercise costs what? 43,890, according to your, is that correct or is it more? According to your contractor's report that you've sent us, that's what it cost. Then I would like to know, what the heck is Akani Consulting? Because they were doing the following: job evaluation, policies, competency assessments, to a cost of 487,941. Why do you have a human resource section? The issue of the non-availability of council meetings for these decisions, well, I mean, if you listen to what the acting chairperson was saying, she was basically saying when she wanted us to make a change in the presentation, that they were not involved. That's most probably why there were no council minutes, but we will hear from them. But I do have a serious concern, and we've been in contact with National Treasury on this as well. And it's a concern that they share, that the use of a private sector consultant to do job grading and to do job evaluations for a public entity. Because, I think we can experience it now, the oversight and accountability is lost. The council has basically lost oversight and accountability of this process as a result of it. And we need to understand why this decision was taken. The last issue that I want to raise is, I'm trying to be very calm and collected. around the whole issue. I understand that the four people that were appointed were not at CIRA at that point. But the human rights, maybe we should get them in. The Human Resource Center was there. The Human Resource Section was there. So can you explain to us why was this decision taken to go the PricewaterhouseCoopers route and not to involve what you normally would, public service and administration together with Treasury? And then last question. I need to understand, and it's fine to come and talk to us here about the private and this wonderful system that they are using, etc., etc. Why did, and maybe the council must also respond to that, why did you not benchmark yourselves against other public entities? You've got a grading that is provided by Treasury in terms of where do you fit in with other public entities. So why was the decision, why were you not benchmarking yourselves against another public entity of the same size, same type of work, etc., etc.? Let's first deal now with these questions before we go to the next. And if there are follow-up questions, members, I will allow you to make those follow-up questions. Let's agree that they first answer and then we take the follow-up questions.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I wasn't quite sure of the order, but if I miss out, please just indulge me and we'll come back to it. I think the first question was on the salaries and work approved, followed up by the council minutes and whether these procedural parts do not have minutes. I think it was in that order. In the table stipulated there, that's exactly how it happened. In as far as council being involved in the appointment of the director, council in the, although different members, in the appointment of the deputy director finance, and then the chair and the director involved in the appointment of the deputy director law enforcement. And I think that, Honourable Chair, is what I was at pains trying to explain at the last session, that council was part of some of the processes, but not the entire process, but definitely not in as far as the salary and the remuneration is concerned. But I have to give a caveat to that explanation. The involvement of the private company preceded this council's appointment. And what had happened was when, and that also goes for the related questions around HR and involvement of the private companies, when the, what was that called, the MIT, the intervention team, was appointed, apparently there was nothing going right in CIRA, from the IT to HR to every section of corporate governance and corporate management and administration. And that team brought in the private companies to assist in the process, because apparently from the reports that we also gathered was a process that we took over that already started, that was in 2009, that preceded our taking or as a council. The fact that salaries seem to have been decided upon randomly, there were cases where an administrator was doing a delegation to senior managers, etc. So basically from an HR and a corporate management perspective, it was a mess. The task at hand was to get it to a point of stability, and I suspect, I'm only just saying that from just looking at that from this point now, that in order to just get systems and policies in place, that is a process that preceded us and there was a continuation of it. Now, that is as far historically as I could say, because there was no confidence and trust in the entity to do those areas required of the entity itself in as far as relations with other departments, but also the internal management instruments were non-existent. The first responsibility that council had was to get the administration going, and in fact, if this committee recalls, there were a number of people who were under investigation when senior management, as well as having been fired in the process, and those positions had to be filled, and that is why council had as the first task to appoint the director. We had a few hiccups prior to that, to the first director, and then on to the second director that we a third actually, that we had appointed where council was involved. The salary system, grading system, council unfortunately didn't have any involvement in that. That was a parallel process, a separate process, as I tried to indicate at the last meeting, and maybe that didn't come out too clearly. My apologies for that. The second question, Honourable Muleleke George, as to whether it is normal for council not to have minutes for a meeting, to have minutes for every meeting we've had. And that is why the minutes are there for the two meetings that are back here, and subsequent to that, we had, I think, four meetings, and then also additional meetings, and even for that, we do have minutes. That is our procedure, to keep minutes of every meeting and every resolution we pass. Just going to other council, it is that, all right, and I think the chair's question as to the concern as to why private companies were involved and why we didn't use the human resource capacity, because even that capacity was, the credibility and legitimacy of that capacity was questioned from the beginning, because at some point there was an increase decided upon with no performance evaluation, no performance contract, no HR systems, no HR policy, and therefore that entity, or rather that component in CEDA couldn't be used. And we're talking about a highly, highly dysfunctional entity at that point. And for that to get going and to get to the clear mandate, and I should say, Chair, the council was also at a great difficulty, because the first meeting we had with the minister, when he called us in and he said to us that this entity is not a bakery, and we are dealing with very serious risks, and we want to get results on it. And our difficulty was to look at that an entity where nothing was working, or nothing you could trust, basically, even if it seemed to be working, that you could trust, to get to the demands placed on us to ensure that the entity can respond to some of the inherent threats or concerns that existed in as far as the broader industry was concerned. And that was the dilemma we were faced with. Doesn't explain some of the issues that are raised, but that is basically the context of it. Thank you. Can we ask the HR to clarify the rest of the questions, please?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The other question is with regard, I think she has already addressed it, the reason why we looked at the private sector to do the job evaluation. I mean, it's a process that was commenced or started before the council and before the rest of the management team that is in front of us. We just continued with the process that has already started in 2009. And why not benchmarking with other public entity? We understand, I mean, when we do this exercise, when we finalize the exercise, the same company, PwC, gave us the benchmarking, which was done, surveyed with other private companies and other public entities. And unfortunately, looking at what these other private companies are paying in terms of the partisan grading, we could see that there's no way with regard to our financial position to adopt what other private companies are paying in terms of the outcomes of the job evaluation. So hence, at the end of the day, we correlated the same outcomes of the job evaluation based on the partisan grading to the public service grading. And as I've indicated, with regard to the director and the deputy director, we couldn't even implement exactly what the outcomes of the outcomes of the PricewaterhouseCoopers. As I've indicated, that we ended up taking the lower grade, I mean, to ensure that it suits our financial position. think I've covered. Okay. The last one, I'm sorry. The last one is about Akanani. Akanani was a consultant recently, I think that was from last year. And I'll like also to indicate that it was also because of the capacity. If I had to indicate the staff complements of the HR division, as I'm talking, is around six people who are servicing the whole national offices. And we have looked at that, and it was a priority to ensure that we have the performance management system in place, and we also evaluate profile and evaluate some of the positions. I mean, looking at the number of people at the division that we're referring to, we could see that it's not going to be possible for us to be able to deliver in time, and hence we outsourced some of those functions for them to come and drive the issue of job evaluation, to drive the issue of performance management system. Thank you.
Two outstanding questions. That got discrepancy in terms of the salary. Mr. George?
And another one, I asked, what are the total costs? Because in terms of the figures, there are many figures. There's 50,000, there's the 12,000, there's the one consultant was fired. I asked, how much did it cost all this thing of this consultant? Total.
Can I just add to the Honorable Mileleki George's question? You know, the Annex E that you gave us, it's for 2011-2012. It's not for 2010-2011, which is what we are busy with on the consultancy fees. And this is now the third time that we're asking for these consultancy fees. Detail. And actually, the Private Security Industry Regulatory Authority and the Head of Human Resources has just indicated that's something that we did last year when you spoke about Akanani.
Honorable Chairperson, on Annex IE, we submitted the detail of, this is the detail of the consultancy fees for the 11-12, which is the year under review.
Then explain to us, what was the total cost? Because now you've done, PwC has done something. Akanani has done something which your human resourcing unit should have done. We're now no longer speaking 2019. You've now corrected the problem. We're now speaking 11-12. What was the cost for PwC's exercise? First of all, give us the clarity. What was the cost for PwC for the whole exercise? The 42 that's reflected in the 2011-2012 year is the 42,000 rand that you spend on the so-called ethics line. That's what it is here. It's not the cost of the job evaluation. What was the cost of the job evaluation? Ms. Holtzman, can I ask that we start there? And every one of this management tells us when they were appointed. Start there, please.
2001, Madam Chair.
Chairperson, 1998. December 2010, Madam Chair.
April 2010, Madam Chair.
May 2010.
October 2010, September,
March 2011.
You just felt the only one that
we can't hold accountable for this now. Just about. Can we get answers on why, what was the total cost of this PricewaterhouseCoopers exercise?
Honorable Chairperson, the figure that we have here is for the financial year 2010-11 and 11-12. So the total of over those 2 years is 53,250. However, we don't have details for the year before because they started in 2009. We don't have those figures in front of us.
They finished this exercise when? You just gave us the answer. When did they finish this exercise?
Madam Chair, they finished the exercise in 2010. That was in May 2010.
Now we're already talking about the 2010-11 financial year. So the cost should be reflected somewhere. So get that figure for us. We want to know the total cost of the PricewaterhouseCoopers exercise. And we still need a clarity on Akinani. I don't understand why you have done that again, and council will have to come in here as well. This is now under your time. Now, Mr. George's question around why not involve public service, etc., becomes even more relevant. More than R1 million spent on job evaluations. In fact, 1.5, almost 1.5, 1.4 something. Give us an explanation. Mr. Choki, you took the decision. Why did you do it?
Thank you, Madam Chair. As already explained, the decision we took, because there was a capacity problems within the HR, they needed to ensure that the rest of the other positions that when we did the strategy for the first time after we took over, there were also other new positions that we came as a result of that strategy, and they needed to do the job evaluation for those strategy as well as the competency assessment for the entire the staff. That is the decision we took at the time.
Okay, that's the one part of the answer. There was a capacity problem within CIRO. You're not answering why you chose to go a private route and why you didn't go the government route. Mr. George, I'll acknowledge you. Ask that question on the record, please.
I wanted to ask, what is the decision? A CIRA decision, that is you guys, or a council decision?
It was a CIRA decision.
Now explain to us why you again took the route of a private consultant instead of going the government route. Public Service and Administration, Treasury. They've done the job evaluations, they've done the structure for the Secretariat of Police after we've passed the legislation. They've done it for IPED after we passed the legislation. Why did you again choose the road of a private company? Explain that to us. And that against a government policy of saying, let's cut down on consultants' use.
Well, Madam Chair, at the time we did not consider the availability of the Public Service Commission. I must say that the request to HR was that let's find assistance in terms of this so that we're able to do it. And I cannot say that at the time I said to them specifically, also go and look at the public service. I will be lying if I say that. and it didn't come to mind at the time that the service was available. I have to be very honest with you, Madam Chair. Therefore, I cannot explain why we didn't go there, other than saying that it didn't come to mind at the time. I requested them to procure the services for assistance with the competence assessments as well as the job evaluation of the new positions.
Coach?
The chairperson who is said to be full time is not here. Because I'm going to ask the question to them. Were they aware of this decision, the council? Was the council aware that they have taken this decision? Because I find it very strange. Because now you're always the oversight. If they take decisions, they implement them. But my question is, were you aware? Remember, you've got somebody who's full time.
Honourable Chair, I want to answer this in two parts. The direct question to Honourable Muleleka George is that no, we were not aware. We indicated that the council met twice. You have a council that, as it is right now, this is the council. Okay. Now, what it meant, and that is what I was trying to explain, that if you have a full-time chair with managing council responsibilities on a daily basis, then that is where the oversight procedures lay. And in the absence of a fully functional council, at that point, that's a consequence of it. But, Chair, I venture to do the following, and I'm doing this at risk. This is my assessment, and I haven't consulted with my council member, and it's not a council discussion, but I want to put it to this council, to this committee. We would be probably beating ourselves up around a lot of questions that emerged around it, but I think that probably a position emerged in CIRA over time, that CIRA is an entity unto itself, that it doesn't relate to government in the same way that other entities do. And it's probably an interpretation that over time set in the mindset of CIRA, and I'm talking about council, the entity, etc., that CIRA generates its own funds and it accounts in whichever way, internally, etc., and therefore you don't have the sort of links and systems with other departments. If I'm to be objective, I would say, I venture to say that possibly is part of the makeup of the entity. And I'm saying this because if you are looking going forward, then those are the issues that we need to address. Now, at the latter end, we're trying to do that, but I think that probably is part of the conditions that we are reporting on now. I would venture to say that I'm at risk because it's not the position that we've analyzed and a conclusion that we've drafted, but flowing from the information, I would think that could be a fair assessment of why certain positions have been taken over time.
No, I would easily have accepted that answer, was it not that I've just asked the management when they were appointed. With the exception of the two gentlemen right across from myself, senior management, all comes from 19. The senior management should have changed this perception. And what I find even more astonishing is that I went through the CVs and the documents that you've provided to us in terms of qualifications, etc. Senior management have worked within the public sector. It's not that government and government's work and government's way of doing things is not known to them. So it makes it that more difficult to accept that. And the fact of the matter is, whether that was the perception or not within CIRA, this management together with the council had a responsibility to change that, because you are a public entity. You're not a private company, and that's what we've been saying to you all along. It's not your money. It's not your profit to spend. Levies equals taxes. Members, I think we need to highlight in our report the concern that we have, and we're still waiting for the answer around what did they exercise around PricewaterhouseCoopers costs and means, so that we can combine these two. We definitely need to highlight this issue in our report on the annual report, and then members, when we meet again, we will discuss how do we suggest we take it forward in terms of this as well. I would suggest if you can't find the answer here with you, you send somebody outside to go make a phone call and get the answer, because we're not leaving this parliament today without answers. Can we continue with the issue on the salaries? I would request that we take them one by one for the 2010 appointments. One by one. You refer to as date of appointment, salary at that time, and then salary on the 31st of March 2011. And you explain to us the discrepancies.
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 115 of the annual report, I think I'm answering the question in light of this. Is this where you were referring to the discrepancies between the years?
By telling us appointed on 1st of September 2010, salary scale, and then salary at 31st March 2011. That's what I want you to respond to.
Yes. Chairperson, perhaps if you may allow to relay then the question to HR after I explain how this come about, these amounts come about. When we report on the annual financial statement, we do not report the package that is at that particular time. We report on the amount of money paid to the individual over the financial year. For instance, if we go to the chairperson of council, the chairperson of council was appointed on the 1st of January 2010. So if you look at the two financial years in front of us, he worked the full 12 months, which is in 2012 it was the 1442438. So that 1442438 is not the package at a particular date. It's the amount that was paid to him as a salary over the 12 months of the financial year. Hence the comparative of the 1339-2796. When you go to the director...
Sorry, I want us to go slowly. I still don't understand what you're saying, because I looked at your appointment letters as well, which I must say, again, is not signed by council. I look at the appointment letters as well. And where it's signed by the chairperson of council, there's even an instance where there's no date to that contract. I want you to be clear on what you're saying, and that's why I'm referring to the packages, because the packages says clearly total package. It says clearly, the contract says total package. So all we need to do is you divide 1442, 2010, 2011, 1392796, divide it by 12, you get the monthly salary. 2012, you do the same. So continue from that perspective, because I don't understand why you're saying this is not all the money that was paid. What other money are hidden from this?
Chairperson, thank you. I think my point of departure was that I wanted to explain. Let me just then explain the page 115 in that context, and then I'll relay the packages as at a particular date with the HR. Because I think from a disclosure point of view of finance, I wanted to indicate that we show amounts paid in that particular period. For instance, if one looks at a person who's appointed in the middle of the year, we will show 6 months payment made to that person, not the entire package, because we look at the expenses, the amount paid to that particular person. I think that is the context that I wanted to explain, page 115. The HR is best placed to indicate that at what point did a package change over time.
Continue.
Thank you, Madam Chair. In terms of the document that has been presented, it has indicated that the package of the director on appointment was 976,317, and the appointment of the deputy director on appointment, the finance and administration, was 790,953. And the appointment of the deputy director, law enforcement, on appointment was 845,934. And maybe I just want to clarify this, especially the reason why, because at first the deputy director, finance, and the deputy director, law enforcement, were appointed on the same level, which is E1. So maybe there will be a question why the deputy director, law enforcement, was appointed in 845,934, which vary the package of the deputy director finance. The deputy director enforcement was appointed on the 1st of December 2010, sorry, and that was after the implementation of the salary increase of 2010 of 7%. On the package, then he was appointed on that new package of 845. Unfortunately, with me here, I didn't prepare the changes going forward, but that document, I do have it on my PC. I'll look at it and present further in terms of the increase throughout the years. Thank you.
You're saying you're not even able to give us percentages, you see? Let's take your director, appointed at 976,317. But now it looks like sometime now is more than 1 million, 1 point something, 3 million. So that is 2010. So you don't know how much was increased 2011. You must understand we're 2012 now. If you look at the scale now, it means there has been a very huge increase. We are not able to explain that.
Madam Chair, as I'm still going to look at the document that will give us the specific figures, but I'll be able to indicate the percentages, I mean the salary increase percentages that were implemented throughout the years. In 2010, the salary increase across the board, not only applicable to the executive, was 7%, and in 2011...
Message also on your microphone, please.
This person is appointed on 2010 on 976. Are you saying in 2011 the increase was 7%? Because that one, we can do it here. We don't have to go to 7% of that amount. And then that is 2011. So are you saying that? Because I just want to go with you. Are you saying that?
Madam Chair, the director was appointed in 2010 and was appointed on 976,317 package.
Yes.
The same year, 2010, which is 2010-2011 financial year, we had the cost of living adjustment, which was 7% and which was applied across the board. So, which means during the same year, the director got an increase of 7% on the same financial year.
Madam Chair, this is my last question. So this increase, within the same year. You appoint somebody in July, then you see in November, and then immediately within the same year you increase it by 7% because of inflation. Which inflation are you talking about? Do you have your own inflation in Syria? Because the inflation which we have in the country, which we all calculate from the CPI.
Before you answer, I want to give you just an example, and I haven't even looked at whose position it is. It is, let's see, Deputy Director Law Enforcement, appointed 4-3, started 2011. The person started, if I'm not mistaken, law enforcement started on the 1st of December, correct? So from 1st of December to the... Sorry, I just want to do this. This is a simple exercise that we need to do. 437 792 divided by 4 months. 109,448, right? Per month. So let's take the amount for 2012. Now it's a 12-month period. 1035 divided by a 12-month period. Suddenly this person is earning less. 86,261. And I can continue with it, but before you answer, you can make another one. Let's start. Since appointment in that financial year, director got an increase of 13.8%. I don't know where you get your 7% from. And Mr. George, can I just say, Ms. Molabati, when the HR was answering, they actually gave somebody an increase before the person started. They said that. Because before this person started, it was the annual increases, so we added the 7% to that person's salary. Deputy Director Finance and Administration, 22.3% increase. Deputy Director, Law Enforcement, yeah, you should be complaining with your colleagues, 8%. You're welcome to respond.
Madam Chair, can we give the opportunity for the HR to get the documents so that we explain on what the calculations were based, because there is a document that you will be able to explain all these calculations. And then from there, perhaps you can see clarities on those calculations.
Mr. Chaupi, we're using one document, page 115. 115, which he has referred us to. I'm simply doing a 4 month, 437792 for 4 months divided by 4, it gives you a certain amount per month. Then you get to the next financial year. Then you get 12 months salary. You divide it by 12, you get an amount per month. Simply based on that. And I would presume that those two figures are determined exactly the same way. Same things are reflected in the one that is reflected in the other.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As I've asked the Honourable Chair, can we have an opportunity to present so that we are able to interrogate based on our presentation, so that we explain the figures, which will then correlate to what is here.
So, okay, that's just the opportunity we can give you is to explain those figures. Mr. George?
Probably when they try to explain, the gentleman, the Deputy Director of Finance, he said it was based on inflation. Now, it looks like inflation affects you people differently because the increases are not the same. This is also what we want to know. Because if it was an inflation-related increase, it's supposed to be affecting you the same.
Madam Chair, can I also try to respond on what the Honourable George said? As I've indicated on my presentation, I've indicated, in terms of the salary increase or the annual increase, we'll understand that the deputy director's one is not going to be the same as one for the throughout the years, the same as one for the deputy director law enforcement. If you still remember, I've indicated that somewhere in 2011, the salary or the package of the deputy finance, the deputy director finance, was reviewed to ensure that we pay or we adjust it on the same, on the right grading as per the outcomes of the job evaluation. So that's the reason where I think where you said 22% increase for the deputy director finance and the 8% of the deputy law enforcement. But if we base it on the cost of living increase, that was across the board. I mean, everyone was receiving the same percentage, which is, I mean, if we're talking about the financial year 2010-2011, that was 7% across the board.
Because I don't know. I mean, luckily the minister has instigated an investigation into these salaries, because the fact of the matter is, you can argue as you wish. Let's go back. You've used the example now of the Deputy Director of Finance and Administration. The original salary package offered, this is now offered by CIRA, was 790,953. The person accepted that package, yet the person was appointed at 845,934. Almost 60,000 from somewhere. It's now an entity who's struggling with finances. Since the appointment, the salary increase, and this is now where your explanation comes in, to 1.035 million. So since the person started 1st of October 2010, 1st of October 2011, 1st of October 2012, we're talking a month ago, 2 years, from 790,000 to 1.035 million. And now, that is where the problem comes in with the job evaluation. Your CFO in SAPS, not the commissioner, Skitter, is dealing with an 86 billion rand budget. It's more or less his salary, this. SAPS dispensation is a bit better than the rest of the public sector. I don't know, members, whether we're going to benefit from continuing with this line of and whether we just make this part of our report as well. Council, I think you can see clearly what our problem is. And we hear what council is saying in terms of the meetings and the involvement in it, but council must also accept that the legislation says that any member of council can ask for a meeting of council. We've got serious problems, members, around this issue. I don't know. I think we must carry on with the next one. Mr. George?
I want to agree.
It is very clear that these good men and women have no indication of, or they have no ability to answer the questions. And it doesn't matter how we repeat them, we change them. They do not have answers. Probably that report from the minister is going to be very important for us. Because it's clear that this smacks a lot of things. I don't want to use new words, but it's clear that something wrong is happening in the finances of SPIRA.
Yes, Chairperson, the only thing that is going to help us is the investigation of the Minister's Office. Thank you.
We are in agreement. We highlight this in our annual report as well. Set out clearly, etc., etc. Thank you. We're going to start with the next part of your answer. I don't. Are you done with this part of it? We're done.
Honorable Chairperson, I got the document that I said I would need to get and present in terms of the figures. So I just opened my computer. It's there.
You don't make a copy of that document to provide it to the members. You're not presenting. I thought I made that clear last week. If you can do it when we break for tea, if you can make copies, then you can present on it. But really, the fact of the matter is our only basis of what we are asking is your appointment letters, it's the offers made in the advertisements, it's the appointment letters, it is the annual report. Now, if there is another secret document from somewhere, I don't know whether we should even be all busy with that secret document. If you're using those documents, as I say, if you make copies for the members, we can come back after tea and you can present on it. Ms. Holtzman, where are we going to now?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I think we at C, the heads of agreement, the lease agreement, and the all the questions related to that. And then maybe just for brevity to indicate that D, E, F, G, and H will be dealt with by the Deputy Director of Finance, and then personnel expenditure would be shared both with the Finance and HR.
Can I suggest, the tea is not here yet, but can I suggest that we break now, because I think the building one is going to be quite a long answer as well. That we break now, it's 10 to 11 on my watch. I hope it's correct, I'm not sure. Can we be back here by 11:05? Thank you.